All right, everybody, welcome back to yet another season, another episode of the Balanced Blues Brothers podcast. Thankful today to be joined by Jordan, Score, and Ola. I think Travis, Tyler's, he's MIA right now, dealing with some homeowner, new homeowner stuff. It's a fun time as somebody who just went through all that. But yeah, so today we are going to be breaking down the season preview for Chelsea's upcoming 23-24 season. And the theme of the season so far has been change in a lot of ways in terms of who we're playing, new manager, new formations, new roles. It's been a lot of new things going on. And we've already covered a lot of the transfers for you. Luckily, since we put that out in June, we really haven't had any much activity since then. So, you know, other than maybe like a potentially backup, maybe potentially starter, depending upon what happens with Kepa keeper. We don't really know yet with Robert Sanchez, but we're not really going to cover the transfers. I think we can pretty much address transfers in the rest of what we're going to talk about today. So we are going to run through the preseason pros and cons, kind of the good and the bad from the preseason, what we saw. And that's kind of where you're going to get a lot of those transfer, you know, bites on what we think that those guys will do. Probably talk a lot about Pochettino's system and where that seems to be trending. And I know for a fact, me and Jordan will probably be touching on a lot of the what the hell do we do now situation that we're kind of in. And we'll talk kind of about a predicted 11 and roles that we think will be most common throughout the season, not just for Sunday against Liverpool. And then we're going to kind of give you our season predictions for where Chelsea finish in the table. So first, I'll kick it off. I'll kick it off with you, Ola. What were some of your kind of preseason pros and cons, positives, negatives that you saw from this summer with our yet again another tour here in America? Me and Jordan were at the match in DC. It was a great time against Fulham. But yeah, what was some of your summary from this and takeaways if you got to watch much? And if you didn't get to watch a whole lot of the games, at least, you know, kind of what's your make of what we've done with the squad for this preseason?
Yeah, my preseason, there were some encouraging things. We seem to attack much better than we did last season, which was probably not hard to do considering how bad our attack was last season. But we attacked better, and our ball movement, moving the ball forward, was better. The things I didn't really like was we seemed to attack better when we're on the counter, and we're not really building up much attacks from scratch when we had the ball. The other thing is our defense looked shaky in the sense that not the defense, but the midfield looked shaky. We didn't control any game. It was generally just moving with the tide. And I don't remember a game that we actually controlled. I don't think we kept a clean sheet in any of them. But yes, our midfield was quite shaky. And at some point during preseason, I was wondering if we could actually do without Caicedo. I know I want us to walk away from the deal if it's too unreasonable. But from what I saw, I think we might need him still. But yeah, our midfield was shaky and our defense didn't really look that good. But attack was much better.
Yeah, Score, what was some of your breakdown going off from what Ola said in the preseason?
Yeah, I think I was really encouraged by the performances. Certainly, like there seemed to be much more of a clear identity to the team than we've had for a long time. I was really impressed by the energy levels that. It's really, really clear that Pochettino had worked intensely on fitness, conditioning, stamina, energy levels. Like, they looked a lot fitter than they have done for a long time. The players are commenting on it as well, like how fit they felt, how you know, how intense the training was, and not in a critical way at all. So I really like that. I like that we scored a lot of goals as well. And the young talent that we saw getting opportunities, you know, Madsen, Andre Santos, who I thought was brilliant. You know, Levi Colwell finally getting some minutes for Chelsea. Bashir Humphreys looked a really good prospect as well, I think. Like, really impressed me. You know, and other preseason, we've not had those kind of players get opportunities. Like, you know, and but Pochettino gave them opportunities in preseason to see what they could do. And some of them have impressed him. I've heard Bashir Humphreys has really impressed him, like surprised him as well. Obviously, Santos has impressed him, Madsen as well. Like, so it that was really encouraging for me. It was a much more positive energy around the camp. Good spirit. There didn't seem to be this kind of toxic atmosphere around like there was last year. In terms of the negatives, like, I guess, obviously, the Nkunku injury is damn annoying, especially because it was in the last game. Yeah, I think obviously, I mean, there were some players that didn't impress. But there were players that I didn't expect to impress, to be honest. Like, you know, Cucurella and like Raheem Sterling, you know, players that probably need to move on. They weren't that impressive. I think overall, though, it was positive. I was quite encouraged by it. Obviously, there's gaps in the squad that we need to fill, but we knew that already. And I certainly felt much more positive about certainly about the long-term future from that preseason, because and also getting into a winning habit. I think we won three and drew one of our games, and we won that little trophy, whatever it was. And I know it's not a big trophy, although Arsenal will probably think it's the Champions League, but it builds a winning mentality. It gets you into the habit of winning things and lifting trophies and stuff. And we need that back. We haven't had that for a while. Like, it's a good habit to get into. And, you know, Pochettino was brilliant. I was really impressed with him. Every press conference, he handled it perfectly, navigated it really well. I don't know if you count Reece James getting the captaincy as pre-season, but I'm very pleased about that as well. I think that's the right decision. Ben Chilwell's vice captain as well. Really like that. So, overall, there's way more positives than negatives about preseason for me.
Jordan, let's get some of your thoughts on this too.
So from Wrexham to Dortmund, I think it was positive. And I think that generally speaking, like to Scorer's point, we looked really good pretty much in every match, even the Brighton match and the Newcastle match. So I guess those two, which were the, to me, closest, quote unquote, we looked much better than we did last season. I also thought getting to see Chelsea play Fulham with Travis was really cool. It was really kind of fun to see, like, to meet Travis in person. So that was awesome. And I thought it was kind of cool to watch a game and analyze a game together because I learned a lot. So had a great time doing that. So those are the positives. Ola and Score both pointed out all the positives. Like, there's not much more I could add. I think the elephant in the room is the Nkunku injury. And I just want to point some stats out here because it is reflecting how I view the entire preseason, which is that Nkunku last year for Leipzig shot 3.3 shots per match, which for a 10 is insanely high. For a striker, that's about average. Out of Chelsea's top 10 shots per match players, 7 are gone. Felix, Fofana, Aubameyang, Havertz, Ziyech isn't gone, but might as well be gone. Pulisic, Sterling's here, Mudrik's here, Broy is here, Mount is gone. So out of those three that are here, the highest was Sterling. Sterling shot 2 per match. Chelsea are going to have a shooting problem, and it's not going to be a finishing problem. It's going to be that we don't have players that shoot a lot. So I know people are thinking probably, what about Nico Jackson? Nico Jackson's highest shooting season was 2 years ago for Villarreal, where he shot 2.78 shots per match. That's not high enough. I think to me, the big concern right now is without Nkunku, we don't have players that are going to shoot the ball. And what's crazy to think is that Pop's system, which is so direct and so aggressive with the ball, like he is not a like juego de posesión fan. Like that's not his thing. Do his teams have a lot of possession? Yeah, it's because they win the ball with the press, which is great. That's fine. I'm not criticizing the system, but I'm very concerned that losing what amounts to about 3.5 shots per match, just from a player standpoint, is going to hurt. I also think everybody's kind of ideal front three of Madueke, Mudryk, and Jackson. All of a sudden, there's a lot more pressure on those three young players. Because in Nkunku in the preseason, and Travis and I, when we were there, we talked about this. Everything ran from Nkunku. And technically, he started on the left wing in that match, but that is a technicality, and so formations are dumb. Because Nkunku was central, and he was central to everything. So I actually think the defense is going to look better, largely because I think Lampard does not understand how to organize a defense to save his life. And I think it looked great under Potter, and yeah, we lost some players, but I think from a talent perspective, we're actually better defensively, and we're going to have Reese healthy, and if Reese gets hurt, we have Gusto. If we have Chilwell, who's good defensively. If he's hurt, we have 8 million other options at left back, which is kind of fun to think about. So I'm not, like, super worried about the defense. I actually think defensively, like, yeah, maybe we give up a goal a match, but a goal a match is far improved over the second half of last season. So I'm not super worried about defense. I just think we're going to be having a lot of nil-nil and 1-1 style matches until Nkunku gets back. So is that a huge concern? No. Did I ever think we were winning the Premier League title this year? No. It was actually weird to me to see people that were like, yes, this is Chelsea's year because we don't have Europe. Do I still think Chelsea can make top five, which this year should be enough to get them Champions League? Yeah, I do. But generally speaking, I just don't really like... the high end to me is a lot harder to come by, and it would not surprise me if kind of we're going to be better than last season, but not by many points, even though the quality on the pitch may be better. And I guess that's kind of my like worst case prediction. So that was my very long rant compared to score and Ola.
Yeah. I mean, you guys kind of touched on a lot there. I would say my biggest positives from the preseason was it, you know, when I watched the team, just simply watching them, it seemed that we lost a lot, right? We lost a ton of players, man, but and maybe some people won't like to hear this. But I think that we made a lot of additions by subtraction. And that's what was very evident to me in the preseason. We got rid of the Mounts. We got rid of the Havertz. We got rid of the Kovacic's. We got rid of we already got rid of Jorginho. We got rid of all of these kind of players that were remnants of the previous era. And the reason why I think that's such a huge pro is not just because, again, people may not like this, but a lot of those players I just mentioned Kovacic, all right, whatever. Like, I'm a little biased. I like Kovacic a lot. I think he's going to crush it at Man City. I just think that the way in which we had those players, they just really weren't productive outputs, right? And that became a drag on the team because when we would go down, when we would concede or go down in a game, it felt like, well, there's pretty much no potential to win because nobody can put the ball in the back of the net. Nobody links well together. The roles are all indeterminate at times. It was just a mess last year. And let's not forget, it's easy to say, well, yeah, we didn't have a real coach. We had Graham Potter. He's an idiot. That's a very, very easy analysis to make. But the fact of the matter is the points per game under Potter were not substantially different from the points per game with Tuchel from the start of 2022 to when he was dismissed in September 6th, 2022 as well. So that is a larger trend that we saw over almost a 1.5 year period. There were some underlying metrics within that 1.5 year period, as me and Olaf talked about, that can support one side being better than the other, whatever, that's okay. That's a whole other conversation. But what I'm getting at is this addition by subtraction is where I saw a lot of improvement. it was simply nice to see players that looked like they wanted to give 100% in the role that they were programmed in by the manager to play, as opposed to just whatever the hell last year was. I mean, we had reports of players were, you know, simply didn't listen to the manager, right, last season. And that was especially with Potter was what I was reading. And then, you know, kind of the fallout with Tuchel. And the reason, and this is the big reason why I'm going to drive home my point now with this last bit here. The reason why addition by subtraction is the biggest positive that we had the entire preseason. And if you notice all the people that were gone, they're almost entirely other than Thiago Silva and Reece James and Ben Chilwell. They were almost all remnants of the previous ownership and the previous club culture that was set and allowed to perpetuate under previous ownership. And that culture was that simply here it is. And this is the truth. I would, if anyone disagrees, I don't know how you would disagree. I would almost question how much you've been paying attention or, well, willfully being ignorant. But the players in the previous ownership knew it all the time. If we don't like a manager, man, we can just not play 100% and get this guy out because we're worth more on the market. We're paid more per every week. And we know how this club operates. And you can say, well, okay, Travis, the flaw in your argument is that we had a lot of roster turnover. But that statement ignores the reality. And if you've played in the team as coming in as a brand new guy, as a younger player, working your way up. So if you played high school soccer, as an American, if you're listening and you're a freshman coming in, you knew how it felt. You're trying to assimilate to the culture that's already being perpetuated by the people above you because the people above you are the ones you're trying to beat to then take their spot. That's how this works. That's how this game works. At these levels, and even at professional levels, there's still this established hierarchy. You're going to, the longer you're in a culture, the more likely you are to not only absorb and become it, but the more likely you are to perpetuate it in the future without even realizing it. There's a psychological phenomenon, and it's been well researched and published on throughout history, that the longer you're in a role, whether it's a job or a coaching role or whatever it is, military, drill sergeant, that's the classic example in the research. The more likely you are to, over time, stop being yourself and what you imagine that you should be in this role, the more likely you are to assimilate what the role has been before you over time. It's basically the idea the longer you wear a hat, the more likely you will become that hat, metaphorically speaking. So that's what I think we did. We got rid of all of those guys, and now we have reset. And who better to reset a club culture than Mauricio Pochettino with predominantly younger guys? We have like the single youngest squad in the Premier League right now. So that's my biggest pro. My biggest con, and I'm just going to leave it here because we're gonna get to really what the fallout from this con is very soon. It's Nkunku going down. Nkunku going down with this injury is devastating for so many reasons. But I think the biggest reason why it's devastating is because when I watched this team in preseason, I saw Nkunku being that central attacking link-up player that was essential to almost everything going on, not just with the ball, but also without the ball. His pressing is so critical because of how he presses, how he's able to read. And that is a skill on a team level. Pressing is easy. You can tell a person to run, but pressing as a team, that's the tough part. And I think he was one of the hugest linchpins of that. And I think that if Poch wants to play a 4-2-3-1, the front line pressing is so critical to that in today's game. And losing Nkunku, not just on the offensive, but also the defensive phase, is just going to be a death blow for this team. And I worry, how do we compensate for this? Because we do not have anybody that's going to fill in if we keep a 4-2-3-1, in my opinion, and replicate 70% of Nkunku's output, both offensively and defensively. It's a gigantic blow. So with that said, let's kind of start talking a little bit now about the systems that we saw Poch deploy, which predominantly, from what I saw, was some variation of a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3. Move to a back three, right? And it was some type of 3-5-2, 3-4-3, something around there, something approximating those kind of formations, which can all be a little interchangeable. It's really the focuses that we played a back four and a back three with. And as you know, Poch generally does play that 4-2-3-1 style. It's a pretty standard setup. So those are kind of the systems that I saw. So I'll kind of reverse it back here and go to you, Jordan. And then, you know, go Jordan, score, Ola. You know, from Poch's system so far, you know, what stuck out to you, if anything, positively, negatively? What do you think we're most likely to do going forward without Nkunku? And if we do keep a back four, like, what really, my honest question is, what the hell do we do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair question. Also, because Patch's 4-3-3 still has a double pivot in it. I mean, it's ostensibly a 4-2-3-1 that's just a little bit more defensive. Or a little bit more control-oriented, I guess, is the better way to put it than defensive. I mean, I'm just going to say it up front. I know today is, this is kind of August 9th. It's kind of the end of the day, U.S. time, end of the early part of the night. Anywhere else for anybody that's listening to this, probably it's probably 11:30 p.m. is around recording this. It looks like we're linked to Caicedo, Lavia, and Tyler Adams. And I imagine Chelsea signed two out of those three players by the end of the window, which I guess solves the double pivot problem in midfield. Travis, I'm going to echo what you said about Nkunku. Like, Nkunku was everywhere. Yeah, he was pressing high. Yeah, he was attacking as a 10. But he was also involved in ball progression. He became part of the block in the 4-4-2 kind of mid-block that Poch defended in after the counter press. Like, he was not one of the guys that was not defending. Do I think somebody like Carney or Gallagher would do that? Yeah, I do. But let's not be unrealistic about what the difference is between Carney and Nkunku. So, with that said, my big question that I keep asking is, who does Poch think Chelsea's best players are? And how do you get them all on the pitch at the same time? I am actually surprised I'm saying this. I do think it is not inconceivable, especially early on in the season, like Liverpool and shortly thereafter, if Poch plays the three at the back. And I say this because, A, he did it a lot during the preseason, and B, who are Chelsea's best players right now? I think of five, but not counting Nkunku, who's hurt. I think of five. With Nkunku healthy, he's one of the five. But the five right now I'm thinking of are Enzo, Reece James, Ben Chilwell, Levi Colwell, and Benoit Badiashile. Four of those five are defenders. The fifth is a midfielder who, as we all know from watching last season, is best when he doesn't need to drop in possession to become a center back. So I think especially against Liverpool. Now, maybe this changes afterwards. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't. I think after Liverpool, we may see a totally different system. But for Liverpool, it would not shock me if Chelsea play three at the back. Now, I think Chelsea are going to do three at the back occasionally throughout the year, even if it's not a base system. But without Nkunku, really the path to victory, and listen, I'm biased. My three favorite Chelsea managers are Mourinho, Conte, and Tuchel. That doesn't say anything negative about Carlo, who I think is one of the best ever. Just he was not my favorite Chelsea manager. But the three managers that are my favorites all kind of focused on creating the best defense possible. So I am biased. I would 10 times out of 10 rather have a better defense than a better attack. But I really think the way to victory early on in the season without Nkunku is to have an elite defense. And I think given Chelsea's personnel, the way to do that is to empower Reece James and Ben Chilwell to get forward. And it's to play with more defensive players. We're not going to shoot a lot of shots no matter what. No matter what system we play, we don't have players that shoot a lot. So all the people that are like, oh, we have Nico Jackson now. Like, and by the way, I want to talk about this as positive. I can do it more later. Nico Jackson is incredible. I've never seen a striker like him live. Incredible. But he doesn't change the fact that we just don't have a lot of shooters on this team. None of our attackers shoot a lot. So, yeah, I mean, and none of them are great finishers outside of Jackson, who, again, doesn't shoot a lot. So maybe the solution is Jackson shoots a lot more, but that isn't his type of style. He's never been. So that's a lot to change. So I really would just focus on building a really solid back three for early in the season. Once you get the midfield reinforcements, maybe you talk about a formation change. But for now, I would go three at the back, a more defensive system that presses high and controls matches. So that is my very long rant. Again, I'm sorry. I keep going super long.
No, that's by all means. That's good. I think it's a very interesting, and there's a lot of positive points, and, you know, to agree with you on why a back three might be more functional for us going forward. But in the chat, Score just kind of had a good, you know, kind of idea that he proposed in the chat here. I'll let you expand upon that a little bit more.
Yeah, and it was something actually that I thought about immediately when Nkunku was injured. And it's to do with one of our best players, right? Enzo Fernandez. We all know that he's one of our best players, 100%. And outside Nkunku, he's probably one of our best creators as well. Like, he's, you know, when he's given license, when he's given freedom, he doesn't have to do any worry about defensive work. Like, apart from the obviously pressing from the front, which everyone has to do, but when he hasn't got to drop deep and, you know, be a sitting midfielder, and he's allowed to, you know, a bit more freedom, he can create, right? And his passing is well, world class. And, you know, maybe the reason we're buying two DMs now suddenly is, or two sixes anyway, two deeper midfielders, is because we want to play Poch's 4-3-3, which is a 4-2-1-3, like, really. And you'd have, say, Caicedo and one of Tyler Adams or Romeo Lavia playing slightly deeper, with Enzo Fernandez in a bit of more of a, I don't want to call it a free role, but a bit more advanced. And without having to worry so much about, you know, dealing with counter-attacks and dealing with, like full-time defensive duties, and actually just being able to focus on what's in front of him and, you know, putting balls in behind and, you know, feeding, maybe allowing, like, the fullbacks to bomb forward, and with Caicedo dropping deeper, like, I don't know, making it into a back three, and creating attacks, you know, and creating chances for, you know, whoever's playing up front. That might be what they want to do. I wouldn't be against that. I mean, Chelsea played that way before. And it's worked. That 4-3-3 has worked before, not quite in the same way, but it's it is a system that's worked for us. And also, I think it's important to remember as well, Chelsea are trying to buy a couple more attackers before the window shuts. So it's going to be interesting to see who they get through the door, because that's why I don't like making season predictions before the start of the season. I like to make them on September the 1st, because then you know what squad you have for the season, pretty much. And that's when it's more easy to predict where everyone will finish, because a team might look like they're going to finish 8th or 9th in August the 1st, but on September the 1st, they might look like they're going to finish 4th or 5th, you know? So that's an interesting thing that I think they might try, because, I mean, Enzo Fernandez is one of our best players, so it makes sense to build around him, especially when Nkunku is injured. So, and to let him do what he can do to the fullest extent, like, because that's going to help you win football matches, and that's ultimately the name of the game, is winning football matches. And we need to add people who can finish. You're right, absolutely we do. Those attacking signings, they need to be able to finish. So we need people who can put the ball in the net, basically. Like, that was our problem last season. Defence wasn't as much our problem last season. Like, we had the 8th best defence. And until Potter was sat, we had the 3rd best, I think. You know, and, like, that was in, what, April? So up till April, we had the 3rd best defence in the league. You know, and we were, like, in the bottom half. But we still had the 3rd best defence in the league. It was an incredible stat, really. So need to add those goals. And if you can improve the defence at the same time, that's also a really good thing. But yeah, that's what I think they might do, because you can't replace Nkunku. There's no other player like him who could do what he was doing for us and what he will do for us when he comes back, because he will come back. We'll have him for at least half the season, which doesn't, I mean, it seems a long way away now, but having him for like 18, 19 league games from January to May, that can change a season. So, you know, that's still enough time to have an impact on a season and put a run together. So let's hope that he does come back and that he doesn't get injured again. And that, you know, but by then, hopefully we're in a solid position. If we can get to a position in January where we're within touching distance of European places, or even Champions League places, and then Clunky comes back, then maybe we can kick on and have a run, especially because second half of the season, other big teams will be getting, well, you know, will feel the effect of more fixtures than us, and we'll get the benefit of having played less fixtures because we'll be fresher. So there's a good chance that the second half of the season we put a good run together because of the fact we haven't got European football. That can often happen. Like, I'm not saying we're going to win the league, because we're not. But anyone who's listening who thinks we're going to win the league, we're not going to win the league. Like, we're not. Like I would be shocked if we won the league. But I think we'll get into Europe. That's what I think. That's the prediction I would make. I'm not saying what European competition, but Europe. Like, could be the Conference League, could be the Europa League. If we're really, really lucky and put a really good run together, we could get into the top five, top four, maybe. But I think we'll get into Europe. I think we'll finish in the top seven for sure. But actually, it'll be eight, won't it? Eight, won't it? Because if the fifth place is Champions League, it'll be eight. Oh yeah, we'll definitely get into Europe then. Matt Law said today actually that he thinks Chelsea will finish sixth and win a cup. That's his prediction for the season. Nothing more than that. I thought that was a pretty decent prediction. So, of course, we know what our fan base are like, and that they'll go mental if we don't get top four and all this kind of stuff. But, I don't care about them anymore. I think we've got I think we can win one of the domestic cups. I really do. Like, I do, especially with Nkunku back in second half of the season, we can win the FA Cup for sure. But yeah, who knows? Like, I just want us to be. I just want us to have an improved season than last year and show progress, play good football, win more football matches, have a lot more positive energy, good team spirit, good mentality, good squad building. Squad development, you know, and then something we can build on for next season. I hate that, using the word process, but it is a process. And we're building a team. We're not just buying one for quick success. You look at the profile of players that we're signing are all under 24, pretty much. So we're taking a long-term approach, which is the best approach. Like, I'd much rather do that than buy like a £100 million 29-year-old who then decides he wants to leave after 6 months. You know, like, let's go for the long-term approach, people who actually want to be here. Like, and all the players who signed, whenever you deal in the interviews we've seen with them, they're all really enthusiastic about Chelsea, which is really great. Like, you know, we're kind of their destination club, which is what we want, you know. So anyway, that's kind of my little ramble, which started off about being tactics and has gone into more about a season prediction. But there you go.
Hey, that's all right. Just kind of bleed one into the other. We're gonna do that at one point so we can expand upon it. But Ola, all right, let's hear it. What do you think about these systems, and what do we do? What's your take on where Poch goes for Liverpool on Sunday, or not just Liverpool, but just, you know, in general for the kind of duration of Nkunku being out?
Yeah. As for the tactics, I think Nkunku being integral to our pressing structure is, I guess you could say, it bodes well for us, because I wasn't particularly impressed with Nkunku during preseason. I'll be honest. I wasn't particularly impressed with him, but he played well sometimes. Sometimes he wasn't really in the game. I think the way we attacked, though, was primarily through winning the ball back, turnovers, countering. And if we're going to mainly attack through counter-attacks, we should be able to replace Nkunku fine. That may be a bit naive of me, but from what I saw, I didn't see us build up many attacks from scratch, from passing the ball out from the back. So we have quite a lot of forwards, really. We have Sterling, we have Modric, we have Madueke. We have a lot of forwards. And I think even with Nkunku's injury, I don't see much changing in how we attack, in how we build up, based on what I saw in preseason. But I also know that the more we play and the more we play under Poch, the better we would be at at building up from scratch and actually building more sustainable attacks. Because from what I've seen, I feel like we're going to struggle a lot when we come up against actual Premier League opposition in league games. Because preseason games are very different from league games. And even if you're playing against Premier League opposition in preseason, it's still a preseason game. So I think, from what I saw, we were trying to win the ball high up the pitch, which Andre Santos was very good in. Against Dortmund, we played very well. I don't know how Santos will do in league games and when the season starts proper, but we can only wait and see. But yes, regarding Nkunku's injury, I understand why it's a blow, but I think I'm not really sure what changes per se. But yeah, it's a significant injury and I prefer to have him to select. But yeah, I don't think that much changes from how we attacked in preseason.
Yeah, I don't really know, man. So we don't really have like a post Nkunku injury situation, you know, that we've been privy to seeing as fans so far. So I'm really unsure what we're going to do. I think if we can get the right recruitment that Score was suggesting with, you know, Lavia, Caicedo, maybe even Tyler Adams, it sounds like all three might be in play right now as legitimate options, then I think that changes the calculus quite a bit, right? I think that's going to really change us in terms of what we can and can't play. I think as it stands right now, as of 6:54 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, on August 9th, I think that a back three is probably the most suited thing for us. But again, like Jordan said, he was very upfront. You know, I'm a very defensive person in general, right? Even as a coach, sometimes I'll be told by other coaches I'm an incredibly all-out aggressive coach, but I, in terms of attacking, but I kind of question that all the time because my own philosophy is just don't let you know, win the ball back, right? And that's a full team effort. That doesn't make me attacking. I'm an incredibly defensive coach. I always think about the defensive aspects first, and you know, pretty much he said it there. My favorite Chelsea managers of all time are Mourinho, Conte, and Tuchel. So the same, very, very similar approach in terms of how we look at that. So that's maybe why a back three is something that I would lean towards more. It's just, I literally ran it in youth. Like in my last season this spring, I ran a back three. I ran a 3-2-3. It's just something that I'm more gravitating towards. And I think the reason why I would gravitate towards that, like I said, as of, you know, 7 p.m. August 9th Eastern time, I would gravitate towards that because A, if we don't have people that create well and we don't have many players that shoot well, my obvious thought is, okay, we can't really concede or we're not going to get 3 points, right? How do I best not concede? I put my best defensive players on the field. And it just so happens several of our best players are defensive players, and our overall best player, Reece James, in my opinion, and it's whatever you think my opinion is worth, it's fine, is best as a right wing back, right? That maximizes his full range of skills, is that right wing back position. So that's, and same with Chilwell, same with Ben Chilwell. The guy, I don't care what you say, he's a serviceable, very good left back. He is an incredible left wing back. And I think that you maximize their skill sets, which, if we want to be honest, what is the knock-on effect of them going to left wing back in a back three? Okay, well, there's our creative outlets. Just wide, you just do wide overlaps and underlaps the whole time with those two and our wingers. There could be a creative outlet, especially if you can get like one of them to develop the Azpilicueta ability of standing right around that, you know, that zone that's kind of just if you're going diagonally from the top of the box, Reece James could just stand there and pump crosses. If we sign somebody like, everybody hates him, and I'm financially, I don't like the move, but if we were to sign somebody like Dusan Vlahovic, that gives you that center reference point as a target man for that kind of play, which could give us a stopgap for the next 4 to 5 months while Nkunku is out. And let's not tread lightly here. Nkunku will miss over half of the season in terms of matches. It's going to happen. How the schedule falls, if he doesn't get back to training until December, probably with that nature of injury, you're probably looking at least several weeks of getting that person back to football actions before they get a complete return to play back to the 11. So I think that that's a better formation. And I also like how you can vary the pressing structures and also exploit, you know, numerical overloads and build up with the back three compared to the back four in certain areas. I like that aspect of the back three myself, and I think that's where we can maybe best transition. We don't have to worry about the Koulibaly's and the Silva's not necessarily being able to press if we can get a back three. And then as well, we can also help compensate if we do have to play Silva in that central center back spot. We have two guys supporting him on either side as opposed to one fullback and one center back, which will have tactically different roles in our attacking and transition and defensive structures, right? Whereas a back three, it's probably going to be one of those center backs like Rudiger in the past would push further forward to kind of be more involved in the buildup, whereas one's going to stand and hold with Silva in that 2-3-5 structure we typically see in those kind of formations when we're doing attacking buildup plays. So that's where I would gravitate towards immediately. Now, to Score's point, I think if we were to vary up our formation here, get the right recruitment in by September 1st, I think that 4-3-3 with two center mid double pivot with an attacking guy being Enzo could be highly valuable. And the other key side of that is if we keep Gallagher, he can fill in that 10 spot too with those two center mids behind him, or he could maybe drop into the pivot, which is a whole other thing tactically in terms of Podge's system. I have thought that Connor Gallagher this preseason has been excellent in the double pivot. I have really liked what I've seen there. That might not be a popular statement, but I've liked what I've seen from Connor Gallagher. And that's kind of, if you listen to me long enough, you realize it's been a steady drumbeat that I like Connor Gallagher, right? He has limitations. I'm not going to argue that at all. He has highly defined limitations as a player. And positionally, he still needs to work on understanding the nuances of, I don't have to run and be the fastest guy if I can position better, right? So I think that there's still things to work out, but I like what I see. And one thing that I really like about Gallagher, and this is what I'm also was alluding towards when I talked about the addition by subtractions point, is that I really like that Gallagher seems like this guy that's, I want to be here, I want to succeed at Chelsea, and I want to help this team win. I can't say that for a lot of the players that we got rid of this summer. I simply can't, because we saw their true colors when push came to shove, and they didn't want to stick around when the going got tough. They wanted to jump ship and go suck it up at United or Arsenal or whatever it is, right? I don't have any respect for Mount or Havertz if people haven't figured that out yet. Those are players I blasted oblivion in my mind and kind of did that before they left the club, if I'm entirely honest, now that, you know, post-mortem has happened and I can say these things without as much repercussion, right? Isn't there now rival players? I just think that we do have the ability to play that 4-2-3-1 as it stands, but the trick is whoever plays that 10 spot's going to do it as it stands at about 70% of Nkunku. So to kind of circle back and kind of full circle, I think, yeah, I would definitely prefer that back three right now. Keyword there, you know, this might all become nonsense, and I'm saying in the next 5 hours when we sign Caicedo and Adams and maybe Lavia, and, you know, completely changes what I say. So I think that's a very good transition into what I was going to say next, which is, you know, let's kind of get some of our, we kind of are at the bulk of the season. We start this show in 4 days. What do we think our 11 is going to be, you know, predominantly for this season? I'll kick it off with you, Olaf, first. Where do you see kind of the lineup? So what do you think is the formation we'll go with? And again, formations are pretty interchangeable, right? If you watch in a game, there's so much movements going on. It doesn't really stay. It's not a static thing. But where do you think the base is for this team heading into Liverpool and then going forward until Nkunku's back, pending, you know, future recruitment?
I think as far as the lineups go, I'm not completely sure, but pending if Kepa goes to Bayern, I think he plays. I think he starts. I think I hear that Badiashile is back now, so he might start. But I think it's too soon against Liverpool, so I think Cole will start. I also think Thiago Silva starts. I think Reece James starts. I think it's going to be a back four, and it's going to be a 4-2-3-1. Because I don't think Pochettino wants to go with a midfield three. No, I think it's going to be a 4. Yes, I think it's going to be a 4-2-3-1. I don't think we have any player we can play in a midfield three as a base midfielder. I don't think Enzo can play that role. So I think it's going to be the usual back four, James and Chilwell, Cowell and Silva. Then I think it will be Enzo and Gallagher in the pivot. I think somehow Chuka Ibeka starts, though I'm not sure I would particularly agree. But he's had some good games in preseason, and we could use someone like him for many things, many of his attributes. I think Sterling starts on the right, and I think Modric starts on the left, and I think Jackson starts up front. I'm not really sure how that team would look against the Liverpool team that is probably is further along in their development than we are. But they also have some integration to do, so it may be a closer game than many people think. And I don't think Liverpool's midfield is anywhere near balanced, so we may not have as much to share for as we think. I expect to see good things from Nicholas Jackson. I think his movement and his ability to trouble defenses will help us a lot. I still don't know where we turn to for chances on a regular basis, but the season is about to kick off, so I guess we'll find out. But yeah.
All right, I'll kick it over to you, Score.
Yeah. I was definitely convinced we were going to play the 4-2-3-1 initially. That's what I saw a lot of the preseason. Maybe with three at the back in a few games as well, depending on opposition and players that are available and, you know, that kind of thing. I think Nkunku's injury does change it a little bit. Purely because he was so key to that system, right? And again, this again depends on who we sign in, you know, in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But I wouldn't be surprised if we use three at the back in a few games. I don't mind the three at the back as long as we've got Reece James and Ben Chilwell playing on those in those full-back roles. Like, I don't want defensive right backs playing in that playing a five. Well, that's five at the back basically. Because I loved watching that under Tuchel, I really did. And also we've got Gusto, I thought was really impressive in pre-season, who can play that role absolutely and is defensively sound. Which makes a mockery of what Leon fans are saying about him, to be honest. I think they were just bitter about him leaving. But yeah, I kind of suggested what I think we might do now, which is Pochettino's version of a 4-3-3. I saw somebody actually say that it was a bit like what Klopp has done at Liverpool, except without the 40-goal attacker in Salah. we might well play two sixes, like, and then have Enzo a bit further forward. You know, one of the sixes drops back deeper into the back three, but it makes it into a back three. The fullbacks get forward a bit more, maybe one at a time, or if not both of them, I don't know, it depends on the game. And that helps our attack, that helps our creativity. It gives us more bodies forward, and it gives obviously Enzo is allowed to create a lot more and get more balls in behind. And I'm hoping that Pochettino can improve the finishing of some of our players. He's got a good track record of doing that, of improving attacking players. He basically made Son into what he is. He was not what he is now when Pochettino got hold of him. And you know, he won the Golden Boot, I think, about, what is it, a year ago? I think he won the Golden Boot in the Premier League, which is incredible because he never looked like having that potential. I think we'll see the 4-2-1-3, whatever it is, 4-3-3, a lot, especially before Nkunku comes back. Once Nkunku comes back, we might go to more of the original plan, depending on what happens and where we are. But you know, you've got to, when Nkunku's available, you've got to use him properly, and you've got to, you know, build the team around him a little bit, him and Enzo. And I think the philosophy of Pochettino is high press, high intensity, high energy, get the ball forward. You know, none of this kind of sideways, backwards passing that goes nowhere. Get the ball forward, like, create chances, get people in the box. You know, I saw a lot more people in the box on tour. Like, It wasn't just one person in the box. There were like three or four people in the box. Like, it could have gone to any of them, right? And that is very different to what we've had. You know, we had, I remember last season, we were like Kai Havertz and like one other person in the box or something. Like, nobody was making those runs on tour. Like, yeah, so I used to absolutely go mental when there was nobody in the box. Like, what? Where is this? Where is somebody? Like, just the ball's there. Like, just go and run onto it. Like, and I saw that on tour, that players that's clearly being coached. Like, get in the box, get in four positions, put yourself about, put yourself in a position so the ball might come to you and you can just tap it in. Like, because the more bodies you have in the box, if you get the ball in the box, you're more likely to score because you've got more people in there, right? So I think that, you know, what I'm saying really is that I think we will do better in terms of goal scoring, especially because I think we'll add a couple of attackers. And then Conker will come back in January or whatever, second half of the season. Yeah, so, but is that going to be that high intensity, high energy philosophy, like get the ball forward, aggressive, like, like more of a Chelsea style of football? That's what I associate with Chelsea. High intensity, high energy, aggressive, powerful, you know, solid defensively, well organised, and yeah, good team spirit. And I think we'll see that this year. I do. I'm not saying where we'll finish, but we'll see where we end up. But I think I'm very confident about the long term under Pochettino. I think he's already improved us. I think from, and not just on the pitch, on the off the pitch as well. The mentality and the team spirit, you know, it looks there. It looks like a positive atmosphere, you know. And I think he's chosen the right captain as well. I think, you know, the future's going to be bright. We're not going to win the league this year, but if we keep building with Pochettino and we let him do his job and we recruit well, which we are doing and have been doing, then I think the long-term future is bright. And I think we'll make progress this year. Wherever we finish, it will be progress. I'm 100% confident of that. And Pochettino tends to overachieve as well with what he has, which is he has a pattern of doing that. Like, he gets more out of players than they think they're capable of, or more than other managers have got out of them. Like, you know, I mean, that's how he got Spurs to finish third when on a budget of like £600 million less than Manchester City, you know, because he was able to get a lot out of players. And so, yeah, I feel really positive and I'm looking forward to this season. You know, I don't have impossible expectations like other people do. I just want to see progress, and I think we will see progress. So, yeah, but those are I'm saying three at the back, 4-2-3-1, like maybe 4-2-1-3. We'll see all of those, I think, at some point during the season.
Yeah, Score. I just want to jump on something you kind of said towards the end there. And I guess this is my bigger point about kind of what I think we're going to look like is that, right, you made this point that we're seeing more players in the box, and I think that's 100% correct. We are. Like, I mean, I said this in our group chat, but like the thing that drove me most crazy over the last like 4 years of watching Chelsea is Reece James delivering a perfect cross into the box, and the one attacker being there is Timo Werner, who, like, right, I think Timo's hard done by Chelsea fans in a lot of ways. I actually think he's a pretty good player, but he is not the guy you want to receive those whip crosses into the box. He's not strong enough and he's not big enough. And my kind of bigger view is that the problem for Werner was I don't think he was made for the Premier League. The problem for Chelsea broadly is we just don't have player, like historically the last 4 years have not had players that are shooting the ball. Right, we had Joao Felix, who's kind of an idiot, but he did shoot the ball a lot. We had Mason Mount, who would shoot the ball a lot, but from way too far out to be an effective goal threat. And we had Kai Havertz, who actually, like, very regularly got in great positions with great ball deliveries, but he was a horrific finisher. But I don't actually think Chelsea have a ton of bad finishers. Like, Sterling, historically, is a pretty good finisher. The problem is, Sterling isn't a big shooter. So when he misses, it's a much bigger deal because we just don't have players shooting the ball. And getting more players in the box when the only real thing you can do when you get that ball is shoot it, I think is good. So I agree. I think we need more bodies in the box. And I don't think we should limit those bodies to the definition of attackers or attacking midfielders. Like if Reece James is in the box and Chilwell crosses the ball to him or vice versa, that's great. Let that happen. Let these guys shoot the ball. But we need guys that are going to shoot the ball. And I said this to start. I think this is why Nkunku is a big miss, because Nkunku shoots the ball. I don't think we have another player on the team that it shoots like that willingly. But Poch has his work cut out for him. But to everybody's point, I think Poch has shown, like, he, even at Tottenham, even at Spurs, he wants a defensively sound team. Now, that isn't like Mourinho sound, where we just didn't give up goals. But it is, we defend and attack, right? Like, the first thing that happens when Poch's teams lose the ball is an aggressive press. And so to that end, like, as long as our defense is sound, again, if we're giving up one goal a match, we'll be great. If we're giving up two goals a match, maybe not so great, right? The ideal is you end up somewhere in between those two. And I just kind of hope it's closer to the one, because I think having a solid defense will let Poch actually work to fix the lack of shooters in the pack.
Yeah, I think, man, I don't know if Poch is going to change his colors a ton, even though I would probably change right now myself. I mean, we're probably going to get some variation of a 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. It's functionally, there is very little difference in a 4-3-3, lone DM, and a C, and a, you know, a can't. There's really not much difference between a 6 and 8 and a 10, and a 6 and a 6-8 hybrid, and it's all very similar, guys. Like, at the end of the day, it's just a slight spatial variation of the same damn thing. I think if we can get recruitment in the door, we'll probably see a 4-3-3 with a double pivot and a cam, right? And that double pivot would not be really defensive mids as much as they would just be straight center mids. I think that's probably the more profile that fits. We don't even have a defensive midfielder in this team other than Santos. It's probably a little too early for him to just step, I mean, right up against Liverpool. I don't really think that's the best way to manage his development, even short and long term. I think he's got all the talent in the world to make it happen long term. But short term, I think we should keep this slow. No, let's not rush anything. I think really our 11 will probably be, you know, a 4-3-3, however that looks out, 4-2-3-1, whatever. It's same. It's generally the same thing. It's probably going to be Kepa in goal for now. We don't really know what's going on with that situation. So I'll say Kepa in goal, Reece James, the captain at right back. Hell, I would probably go Body of Shield, Colwell. I know a lot of people are real into the, you know, we can't play two left-footed guys. We can, and there are a lot of trade-offs that you'll sacrifice in that in terms of passing angles, the speed of getting those angles going and playing those balls because of the footedness. I think I'm not too up in arms about two left-footers playing, one on the right, one on the left. Is it ideal? No, because the passing angles change, and then that changes build-up structures, that changes attacking play, blah, 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 blah. You know, you can figure it out from there. So I'm not as high on that idea, but maybe that's what we do. I don't really want to see Silva being played much this year. I'm sorry. I love Thiago Silva, okay? I do. I've watched this guy play since he was at AC Milan and when I was a, you know, 12-year-old, okay? I've always rooted for this guy. I have nothing against him. But the man is like, look, I mean, he's just old. Let's just be real. He has limitations. It's time to take the John Terry approach and kind of lead from the sidelines. And that's totally fine. It's okay to be that kind of person.
September.
What's up, Ola?
He turns 39 in September.
He turns 39 next month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost hard to believe that a footballer is still playing at 39. But I just think it's okay to be that leader behind the scenes. I mean, even in teams that I'm involved with, we have guys that are leaders on the team that don't even play that much because what they offer in practice and just the culture of the team is more important than just cutting them because they don't play and moving on entirely. And that's where I see Silva. It's not that the talent's not there. It's not that he doesn't have abilities. It's just his abilities at age 39 for the way the game is played in 2023 are not suitable. Maybe if he was 39 years old in 2006, we have a different story on our hands. You know, Maldini did it for a very long time as well with positional changes. But, you know, that's where I see that center back room shaping out. Our two best are Colwell and Badiashile. Let's play our two best, Colwell and Badiashile. It's very simple for me. Left back, it's been Chilwell. It's not even close. I would choose Motson over Cucurella at this point. I don't know what's going on with Cucurella. I really don't. I don't want to root for the guy to fail. I don't root for any Chelsea player to fail in like half of our fan base. But, it, you know, it's just not working out. It's not working out. Even in preseason, he didn't. Okay, everybody blamed him for that one goal that he against Brighton. That was a collective error. It's easy to pile on the guy. I just don't see what he offers us compared to Chilwell. And I saw what Motson could do out of position. I just don't. And Jordan just sent a chat. He's a really nice guy. He could be a good player for some guys. Just may not be it for Chelsea. And I fully agree. I don't see that panning out. I don't see that move making anything more than a backup left back that we overpaid a shitload on. And yeah, so it goes. Maybe he has a redemption arc. Not holding my breath on that. And then if we're going to play that 4-3-3 with those two center mids and a double pivot, to me, it's going to naturally be Enzo and Santos as things stand with Gallagher as the 10. That is a very suboptimal center midfield three. Let's just call it for what it is. And then, you know, but hey, maybe that's the best we can do. And then I think we'll probably see, if we don't see Mudrik start, I'm going to lose it. Mudrik's got to start on the left. I don't want to see Raheem Sterling anymore. I'm done with the guy. He's washed. I'm sorry. I don't like to be so negative about a player, but oh my God, the preseason was a disaster for him. I mean, the pressing was non-existent. He didn't win a single take on a dribble this entire preseason. He lost every single dribble he attempted against a 1v1 situation. Holy hell, and you're a guy that was known for dribbling when you were recruited by Thomas Tuchel. People literally, myself included, thought, if this guy can make amazing dribbles and beat 1v1s and get into space, he's going to be great for us. But he can't get into the space anymore because he can't win the 1v1. So I'm done with Raheem Sterling. He's an expensive paperweight on the squad right now. He's not good enough. I'm sorry. He's not. And that's very harsh of me, but I'm done. He can leave. And then it's going to be Jackson at striker. There's no question. He was an amazing guy in preseason. And I think he is going to be a steal. I was very quietly optimistic on him when we signed him from Villarreal, despite nobody really knowing him. But yeah, Ola's saying he wouldn't write Sterling off. Man, I am just so done with Sterling. I'm sorry. Ugh, I'm just so tired of him. Another comment here was in the chat that we're having right now is that he was injured a lot last year. I don't disregard that. You know, that is a real thing. But I'm not seeing anything in preseason to think that was a giant hindrance to his talent on the field. The preseason was horrendous. He was probably one of my worst performers, him and Cucurella, for the entire preseason. Yeah, I get it's preseason, but where do you think you earn your minutes? You earn your minutes here trying to show that you actually have something. So that's kind of how I see this lineup shaken out for Liverpool, and maybe, you know, a little bit here and there going forward until we get players healthy. And again, like I said, I've kind of tempered all of what I've said. A lot of what I said, it could be null and void within, you know, less than a month and about 3 weeks. So we'll see. All right, we're going to get to the last bit here today, and that is predicting where we think this team finishes in the table. Jordan, I will let you start. You know what? I don't want to be the wet towel to end this discussion. I don't think we're getting into Europe as it stands. Okay, I don't. That includes Europa League. I don't see it. There is simply not enough talent in key areas. There's too many guys that are new to the scene, and we have a new manager. We have the youngest squad in the Premier League. Young players typically make mistakes that cost you points. Arsene Wenger said it best. His quote was paraphrasing here from memory, but his quote on this is basically, and this is relative to center backs, I can play a 20-year-old center back, but I will pay the cost with a handful of drop points throughout the year. I could play a 28-year-old more experienced center back and get more points. The trade-off is the short-term center back at 28 years old will achieve more for the team, but in 5 years, the 20-year-old starting from day one will achieve a lot more for the team than the 28-year-old ever could. It's a huge balance. And we're in that moment now where we're playing young guys. So we need to be realistic as fans and not expect these young players to come in and be the Kylian Mbappes of the world. We need to be realistic with what young players mean as a fan, as a coach, as a team, everything. We need to be realistic with that. So I don't see us getting top four. If we get some great recruitment, then maybe I'll have the discussion about top four, but I will still be on the side of cautious optimism, probably leaning more on the side of pessimism for top four. So I don't see that being a possibility. I don't really see with Nkunku being out for, this is a bad injury, and he's coming off of another injury that was severe to his knee that made him miss a World Cup and a lot of last year in the Bundesliga. And if you recall, Leipzig fell apart, didn't keep their title charge going, so on and so forth. The rest is history. Without him being in our team for this much of the season, I don't see top six. And I said when I tweeted out my Premier League predictions, if Nkunku's injury is serious, I will be knocking Chelsea down from 6th to 8th. I think 7th to 8th is the realistic squad level and talent of this team. I don't think we have a revolutionary manager that's tactically amazing. I don't dislike Poch, but I don't think tactically he does anything that's advanced. It's high press, 4-2-3-1, double pivot. It's not advanced. I'm sorry, it's not. A 4-2-3-1, the way he plays, other than the super high press, was shit we were playing 30 years ago. It's not advanced. And in the Premier League, when the Peps of the world, the say what you want, I think Arteta is pretty tactically advanced considering what he did with the talent he had last year. And the Uniteds, which have a very talented manager, more than I think Ten Hag is, look, he literally went toe-to-toe against Pochettino and almost beat him in the Champions League despite having, truthfully, a squad that, yeah, was comparable, but the talent was still lower. They played in the Eredivisie. The talent the Eredivisie faces week to week is peanuts compared to any of the Premier League teams. So I just don't see where we're going to win out here. I think Newcastle have a better manager than Eddie Howe. They have a better squad, or at least very similar. So yeah, like I said, I didn't want to end on my negativity, but yeah, I'm just not high on. I like where we're going. I'm excited for where we're going. But when I have to step back and remove those emotions from my analysis, I don't see much here. I see a sixth place team is the best outcome. So if we want to look at a range of outcomes for my prediction, the absolute seal burst through the ceiling, go to the roof range of outcome is top four, being fourth. The ceiling outcome to me is sixth. The median outcome is seventh, 6th to 7th. And then I think our floor is about 10th, if I'm honest. And I know that's not going to, I know a lot of you three will disagree and a lot of people will disagree with me, but that's kind of where I see the range of outcomes. The best is 4th, top end, more realistic is 6th. The floor is probably 10th. So I'll leave it there and move to you next.
Yeah, I'm not going to be any more positive, to be honest with you. I said this on the podcast right when Chelsea fired Tuchel, let alone when they fired Potter, which is that Poch is a great player development manager, and there's no way you can argue that. He is great, if not one of the best at player development. That is why Chelsea hired him. He isn't tactically super advanced. I think I was less concerned about that with Nkunku, because Nkunku is one of these talents, right, like an Eden Hazard. And insofar as Nkunku takes however good your team is and he makes you substantially better. I think Leipzig have great recruitment. It would not shock me if Leipzig finished 6th, 7th, 8th in the Bundesliga this year. Nkunku is that valuable. He does so many different things so well on both ends of the pitch. Without Nkunku, I'm very concerned about our attack. I'm not going to say it's worse than last year because I don't know that that's possible, but it's substantially worse than 2 years ago. And I have never seen anything from Poch where I've thought, oh man, without Poch, that attack would be much worse. Now, I've seen things from Poch where I've thought, without Poch, those attackers would be much worse. Right? Harry Kane was a 10 that Poch taught how to be a striker. I think Son was, as Score said earlier, like, nobody thought Son was going to be the generational attacker he became. That is all to do with Poch. And I know I'm going to maybe be the most negative, but, and Travis, I'm sorry. Like, I know you were like, oh, I'll be the wet blanket, but I may one up you. I think with Nkunku hurt half the season, eighth is, I would be very, very okay with eighth is how I'll put it. I think our squad was very young. I think talent-wise, we may be higher than eighth, but because we are so young and because the manager is a guy that just, like, is not known for being a tactical kind of savant, I think we will be limited by the youth, by the lack of a star player, and by not having a Pep, Klopp, Arteta style. Even Arteta, when Arsenal was young without a ton of, like, great top tier talent, was finishing eighth, and, like, Arsenal fans are okay with that, and I think Chelsea fans are going to need to be okay with that. That's kind of where I'll end.
I think it is a bit harsh. I think that's harsh of you, Jordan, to say we finish eighth. I think we finished seventh. I don't think we. I look at the teams above us. I think Brighton are ahead of us. I think Newcastle are ahead of us. I think Aston Villa may be ahead of us. City's, Arsenal's, Liverpool's. I think Liverpool may be closer to us than they realize. But yes, I think we finished seventh. I don't think we finish in Europe. I agree with Jordan, really, that we are getting somewhere, but we're not there yet. So the excitement in the new season should be about the progression, not how people think we're going to perform. I've seen people make top four shouts. Some people say they think we'll finish second. Some people think we'll finish fifth. I think there are teams better than us that will finish fifth and sixth. I mean, Brighton played well last season and finished sixth. That's the level that we're at now. We're not in 2012 or 2015. It's going to take a lot to finish in top six because there are teams that are much better than we are now. And from what I've seen about us, I don't think we cracked top six, to be honest. I think we finished seventh or worse.
Oh, I guess that's just me then.
All right, round us out, Score.
Yeah, this is why I don't make season predictions until September the 1st, right? I find it really difficult to make a season prediction in the middle of August because the transfer window is not closed. And because I'm pretty confident Chelsea are at least intending to significantly improve our squad before the end of the window. I'm also, and people who know me know this, I've always been a great believer in young talent and its ability to improve. I certainly don't judge any of our young talents on what they did last season because I think that was just a crappy season where we had, you know, a bloated squad and, you know, the squad wasn't managed well. We had, certainly with Lampard, you know, he's not a great manager, not a great coach, not a great tactician, you know, and the spirit was awful. I think we've got talent in the squad who can improve. I agree that, like, young talent will make mistakes. Absolutely, 100%. I think there's a lot of, I feel a lot of similarities with the 1920 team. Like, we had a lot of young talent in that team. We had some experienced players. I think we've got now, it depends what you term experience, but I think we've got players with experience in our squad. And we haven't got many over 30s, but the experience isn't over 30. So, like, Reece James, who's our captain, has played over 200 first team games of football, right? So is Ben Chilwell, who's the vice captain. And Enzo Fernandez has played a lot of football. He's won the World Cup. You know, that's big experience. And he has a mentality to match, to be honest. He's, those guys, I mean, like, Enzo Fernandez is more mature than 22. Like, I wouldn't think he was 22 from his character, certainly. I think the problem is, the problem that we have is, as always, it seems, in attack. And I have concerns about the attack as it is now. I don't think it will be that attack by September the 1st. I just don't. I think we'll have improved it a bit. But I mean, like, if the deadline day was now and the deadline had passed already, I'd probably be predicting what, 6th or 7th probably, with the squad that we have on August the 9th or 10th, whatever it is today. But I don't think we'll have this squad on September the 1st. But I think our young players will improve over the season. I think we will. But I do understand the concerns about Nkungu's injury and, you know, the lack of goal scorers. I do understand that. I think some of that will be addressed. I think Nkungu being fit in the second half of the season will be really important. Really important, I think. We'll do this in another episode in our 2000 episode, but Mourinho's first season, Arjen Robben got injured in pre-season. He was out till November. So he was out for, what, 3 or 4 months, you know. And that was a big blow. And until he was fit, we were basically kind of playing pragmatic football, just trying to win 1-0. And then he came into the team, and then the whole team changed when he came in. Like, suddenly we were creating loads of chances. We were playing great counter-attacking football. We were scoring 4 goals a game. You know, it was completely different. And then he got injured again. He got injured again in February. He was back for 3 or 4 months and got injured again. Then came back in April. Pochettino won't play pragmatic football, I don't think. But the point was that he transformed the team, basically. When he was in the team was completely different. And I think, well, you know, when Kunku comes back, whenever he comes back, because he will come back. And I think now he's had an operation, it'd be better, because he should have had an operation when he got injured before, and he didn't. And Leipzig didn't give him an operation, and they should have done. But you know, they were trying to sell him to Chelsea, so you know, you know, unfortunately, that didn't happen. But the fact that he's had an operation may mean it might not happen again. So that's a positive, I suppose. But yeah, if he can come back, you know, the way he came back from his injury before, where he came back and was the Bundesliga top scorer, got, you know, they won the cup final. If he can come back and do that, then the second half of the season will be better. I think the second half of the season will be better than the first. And the football will be better in the second half of the season as well, because one, the team will have had more time together for a start off and be more used to playing. Secondly, because I think other teams will be more tired than we are. Certainly other top six teams will be tired than we are. Teams that are in Europe will be more tired than we are, especially teams that haven't played in Europe recently, like Aston Villa and, you know, Arsenal, teams like Newcastle. They will feel it in the second half of the season. They will. I'm not saying that it will cost them completely, but it will make a difference compared to us. So, second half of the season. And the other reason is, of course, Nkunku's coming back. So, yeah, I think. Right now, if we were starting the season tomorrow and we couldn't buy anyone else, yeah, I would say like 7th, 8th, maybe. Like, I think that'd be fair. I think, well, our squad on September the 1st will be significantly better than it is now. It needs to be. So, and if it is, then I'll make a judgment on what what we can achieve then, because I think like that would be, that's when I'll make my judgment on where we'll finish, my definitive opinion. But yeah, the progression is definitely upwards, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a difficult journey. That's it. So yeah, I'm positive about the long-term future of Chelsea. So I think we can all be that. So end on a bit of positivity there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping there's more positivity. I hope that you're right, Score, and I hope that I'm wrong. You know, I'm maybe just sitting here hoping that I'm wrong, but the rational side of me says probably stick to your guns a little bit on that one. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think recruitment is going to be the hinge pin, you know, the linchpin here. Everything's going to hinge upon that and what we do, but we'll see. But hey, great episode today, guys. You know, I'm looking forward to match review one upcoming this weekend. So it's going to be kind of a short delay until the next episode comes out, but really looking forward to it, guys. And yeah, thanks for coming on. Really fun episode. I've enjoyed the discussion today. For everybody listening, we appreciate your support as always. You know, podcast really is worthless without anybody listening to it. So can't thank you enough. You know, I know we get a lot of, you know, different opinions on this podcast, kind of what separates us from a lot of other ones. And, you know, with that, I hope that fans enjoy all the different perspectives and everything. And very thankful for those of you that are listening and for your support into yet another season. So with that said, everybody, thanks a lot. You know, come on, you Blues, for Sunday. And until then, keep the blue flag flying high.